Hey, Rebels, welcome to Rebel Soul Health Radio. I'm your host, Meg Pearson. This podcast is your go-to spot for unfiltered conversations, a fresh take on wellness, and tools to help you build your own kick-ass life, say screw you to societal norms, and find true joy in the chaos. Whether you're into breathwork, undieting, or you're just here for the Rebel vibes, this is your space. My goal is for you to listen, laugh, and leave thinking, why the hell didn't anyone tell me this before? I'm an ex-television director turned modern-day hippie mom, and yeah, I've got some privilege to unpack. As a straight white woman, my lens has undoubtedly shaped my experiences. But here's the deal. I'm all about making wellness accessible to everyone. And if I ever say anything harmful, I'm always open to doing better, and I honestly welcome your feedback. With that, let's get to it, Rebels. This podcast provides general information and discussion about natural medicine, health, spirituality, and may contain discussions about eating disorders that could be triggering. If you or someone you know is sensitive to such content, we recommend approaching with care and prioritizing your mental health. The content here should not be taken as medical advice and is for informational purposes only. And because each person is so unique, please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Hello and welcome to the very first episode of Rebel Soul Health Radio for 2024. I'm so excited to be back recording this little baby. This podcast has been a work that I have been so devoted to since 2021. It has gone through many iterations. It has been rebirthed as I have been rebirthed, as my son has been born. And I'm just stoked to have this platform to share everything that's inspiring me, to share what's inspiring my clients, and to hopefully give words and a voice to aspects of wellness, culture, and diet culture that need words that people aren't talking about. My plan here is to really bring to the table my views, my evolving views on this wellness world, and hopefully offer some information that can be useful and inspiration. So I have not done an episode since the end of 2023. Well, the fall of 2023, I took a little hiatus and I'm excited to be back. Oh, I've been passionately working to create new programs and processes. And I am leaning deeply again, if you haven't noticed, into the undieting space, which is an area that really got me into the whole wellness world in the first place. As many of you know, I retired from my career in television when I was about 31 years old to pursue my life in holistic health. That's when I moved to Costa Rica back in 2013. I was there for a decade teaching raw food and wellness classes and yoga retreats, working in plant medicine, et cetera, et cetera. If you don't know my whole story, you can go back and listen to many other episodes here on the podcast and get to know it. But the thing that has been, you know, consistent through all of this, whether I've been vocal about it or not, is my commitment to supporting myself and other people through their healing from disordered eating, restrictive eating, emotional eating, eating disorders. And this goes all the way back to when I was living in Toronto, still working in television. I was volunteering at a place called Sheena's Place, which is a free resource for those recovering from eating disorder. And I have some lifelong friends that I met through that. And so something that I have been sitting with for the last year has been something that I have recently dubbed the Rebel Soul Process, which is a process for releasing the claws that diet culture has on us. And I have taken aspects of many different trainings that I have done and created it my own and incorporated the somatic side, the energetic side, using breath work and other tools, because I think that that is one aspect of this work that has been long missing from so many intuitive eating and undieting programs out there. So I'm going to be sharing that a lot more about it here. I'm sharing it. I have a breathwork program starting this week called Rebel Soul Breath, previously called Breath Alchemy Circle. I've been theming it. This will be my fourth round. And the theme for this round is the undiet process. So I'm really, really excited about that. I'm going to be speaking to all of this live at the Wellness Show, which is a conference happening in Vancouver, Canada, February 2nd and 3rd. So if you're in the Vancouver area and you're listening, please come check us out. I'm going to have a booth and I'm also doing two talks. I'm going to be speaking on the wellness stage as well as the celebrity chef stage, which seems so funny to say. And if you have been following along over the last year, you know that we made this big transition back to Canada in early April 2023 and moved into our house. We had to renovate it from top to bottom, but we are all settled in. We had an amazing holiday season here with family. I hosted Christmas morning at my house where my mom and her boyfriend, Grandpa, Stephen, and my sister who was visiting from Ottawa, Stephanie, they all came over and hung out with us while the kids opened Christmas presents. It was so fun to have our first holiday here in Canada as well. And that was just a really sweet way to end the year, because for the last few months of 2023, it was all kind of becoming real to me. This move that we had made, leaving Costa Rica, leaving my full-time gig at Rythmia, becoming this quasi-stay-at-home mom, not really knowing what my career purpose was looking like. And so I had a bit of identity crisis, and I will talk more about that and how I worked through that in an upcoming episode. But I just want to be really clear that it's not been all sunshine and rainbows for the last, 6 months to a year. But I'm really feeling positive. 2024 feels like might be one of the best years yet. So yay. And I'm so glad the podcast is back in action. Okay. So to this week's theme, I know you're waiting for it. Welcome. So before we get into the theme, I want you to just, if you can, if you're not listening to this driving, I want to, for you to just take a moment. Stop whatever it is you're doing. If you're multitasking, come back to me, listen to my voice, and just take a deep breath in through your nose. Let it go through your mouth with a sigh. And I want you to ask yourself this question. How much do you think about food? How much space does what you consume take up in your brain on a daily basis? I think this is something that we don't consider, although many of us have calculators running in the back of our mind after every meal. Many of us are preparing what's for dinner when we've just finished breakfast. And I know for me, it wasn't until those incessant thoughts stopped that I was able to really become aware about how much peace was available in my mind when I'm not obsessing about food. Now, let me tell you a little story. I smoked cigarettes. I smoked like a pack a day for almost 10 years. And when I quit, I was 26. I had tried a million ways to quit, cold turkey. But eventually I read a book called Alan Carr's Easy Way to Quit Smoking. You may have heard of it. It was recommended to me. He's got a whole series of books on different things and different ways to quit. But a lot of people recommended it to me and I tried it. And recently I was having a conversation with someone about that book, and she asked me why it worked. And I realized at the time how much my life I was wasting thinking about when I would get to have my next cigarette. Instead of actually being present in the moments in my life and enjoying the little things, I would be constantly wondering when I could sneak out and have a butt. For example, it was my nephew's baptism was happening around the time that I read the book. I had been to a friend's wedding around the same time. I realized that instead of really being there and paying attention and watching these beautiful moments pass, I was tapping my toe and twitching about getting outside to have a cigarette. When is this ceremony going to be over? I need a cigarette. Even when I worked at Much Music back in my early 20s, which was the old Canadian MTV, instead of actually listening to the interviews that were happening feet away from me with the most famous celebrities like Gene Simmons or Tom Cruise, instead of actually paying attention to what they were saying, I would be in my brain thinking about, when's this interview going to end so I can get outside and have a cigarette? Now, I think the same can be said around many addictions. It's just one of the many drawbacks to being in an addictive state. Levi and I, my partner, we've been watching old reruns of Survivor and binge watching seasons. And we just finished season 44 and we fell in love with one of the castaways. Her name was Carolyn. And if you saw the season, you would know exactly who I'm talking to. She's this amazing woman, a ball of authenticity, hilarious. And she's a drug counselor, but she's a drug counselor because she's also a recovered addict. And at one point on the show, she shared like a big thing that was apparent to her after getting sober was how much of her presence around life and living was stolen by her addiction, the obsessive thoughts she would have about when she could get her next hit. And I realized that to be true around cigarettes. And also I'm over six years sober from alcohol as well. You know, drinking and when I could get my next drink also robbed me of so many moments of my life. And I think the same can be said when it comes to our obsession about food and eating, aka internalized diet culture thinking. Diet culture is a thief of our life in the same way. And it's doing that to so many of us and we don't even realize it. I know when I was in the deep throes of my eating disorder, which if you've not listened to other episodes or not aware of what was, you know, what my history is like, you can go back to episodes 1 and 2, Bulimia, a Bankruptcy and Bliss. You can learn about this, my story, but I did suffer from bulimia for close to 20 years. And when I was in the deepest throes of that eating disorder, and even when I thought I was in recovery, I was still obsessed with food. If I wasn't thinking about the calories I was eating, I was watching food TV shows, I was scouring food magazines, studying nutrition, reading cookbooks. There was just so many sneaky ways that I found myself obsessing with food. And on top of all of this, there were other seemingly healthy, normal ways that I was making food the center of my universe. Planning fancy parties, having these big shindigs, wine and cheese events. When I first started working in the wellness world, I was a raw food chef and I was doing culinary classes and I was pairing up with sommeliers and renting out state-of-the-art kitchens in downtown Toronto and doing these big food and wine events, all to disguise this discomfort that I still had around nourishing myself. From the outside, it looked like I had this amazing relationship with food, but on the inside, I was doing all of this to try to convince myself of this healing that I was experiencing around food in my body, which was the furthest from the truth. Sunday mornings for me, I blogged every Sunday morning. I had a food blog at the time. And I would document myself doing my meal prep for the week, all of these amazing healthy dishes in glass Tupperware jars. And it was really just a way for me to have hands-on food, even though the week would go by and I wouldn't actually eat much of the food at all. Back then, I think back about grocery shopping. It was such a farce. I would show up at the grocery store and inside I would believe I'm showing the world how superior I am based on all the healthy and organic ingredients I was putting on the conveyor belt at the cashier station. More on this in an upcoming episode about food morality. But it was again me obsessing. I would spend so much time curating this incredible grocery list and then I would spend an hour and a half, 2 hours at the biggest, fanciest grocery stores in Toronto doing all of this shopping, and then most of the food would end up rotting because I wouldn't actually eat it because I didn't know how to feed myself and nourish myself. I had this just confused relationship with food. Now, speaking about food planning, if you are grappling with a confused relationship with food, you're recovering from an eating disorder, you're trying to create more peaceful eating, maybe you are, you know, you've been battling an eating disorder. Sometimes there is a certain element of planning that is required, especially if we're in the initial steps of recovery from these things. It really depends on your starting point. And for people like me that were really in full recovery from eating disorder and restrictive eatings, designating times to eat during the day, planning meals that are going to be based around food that feel good for you can be important. You know, many of us, whether we have outright disordered eating with food or not, many of us push through days or hours and completely forget to eat. We push our hunger cues aside. So in those situations, it's important to actually have a plan or a programmed style of eating, especially if we are trying to regain control of our thoughts around food. Back when I was in the recovery space and volunteering with eating disorder centers in Toronto, there were women and friends that I'm still friends with today that back then had timers going off on their phone reminding them when to snack and when to eat something, because if they did not have that kind of regimen, they could go for days without consuming food. And that is kind of become a normal thing in our society, thanks to a little thing called intermittent fasting, which is being sold as this biohacking secret for everything from mental clarity to weight loss to energy and freeing up time. Like, some people are selling intermittent fasting as this way, like, don't waste time eating, just plow through your mornings and get more shit done.
But to anyone that does have a history of disordered eating or an eating disorder, intermittent fasting is just another way to restrict and disguise it as being healthy, to disguise it as being on a wellness program as opposed to having an eating disorder. And it's absolutely crazy to me. Now, like I said, programmed eating, well, not necessarily for everyone, is important when we're trying to create a comfortable relationship with food. On the other end of the spectrum, some people that have programmed eating, that were brought up to know that you eat breakfast a certain time, lunch at a certain time, and dinner at a certain time, those people sometimes don't allow themselves to snack. So all of a sudden at 10 a.m., they're starving. Their body's telling them, we need to eat, but they push it off until 12 noon. And then what happens at noon is they overeat and then they feel guilty, right? There's so many reasons why we need to let go of all the stories we have around food and start to tune into our body. And this is why I'm such a proponent of intuitive eating and intuitarianism. So another area that I think a lot of people find themselves overthinking food and obsessing about food is if they have any sort of panic or worry that there's not enough food to go around, or that the food might run out. And this again can come from upbringing. It can come from being in a large family and literally not being able to get food if you are the last one to the table, right? It can also come from a background of scarcity if you did grow up where maybe financially you didn't have the financial means in your family to have enough food on the table. So as an adult, you might have a story that there's not enough food and you're constantly worried and panicked. And this leads you to hoard food, whether at an individual meal by eating more than you might necessarily need, or over purchasing food, stocking your cupboards and fridge with food that ends up going bad, which is, you know, part of the reason why I had so much food in my kitchen in recovery. So if you find yourself obsessing about there not being enough food, then that's when it would be really important for you to start making sure that you always have enough food in the house, that you have snacks on you in your purse. Like, I'm a mom, I have two young kids. My daughter is 4, my son is 18 months this in 2 weeks, right? So I always have snacks in my purse, but I also find myself digging into that snack stash. If I ever, you know, feel the urge to have something and I'm hungry, I want to make sure I have food on hand so that I'm not panicking and those old stories of mine start coming up about, oh my God, there's not enough food, right? So we want to do whatever we can to alleviate the constant thinking about food. And another thing to consider is that when we are thinking about food, it can be a subtle sign of hunger that we often ignore. In recovery from disordered eating or eating disorders, especially, this whole idea of being hungry and full is something that has to be retaught. And that's why intuitive eating and intuitive eating programs and counselors and coaches are even a thing. Because most of us, whether we have distinct disordered eating tendencies, we have, no matter what, whether we have that or not, we have forgotten how to eat from our hunger cues. And it's made out to be a really easy task to eat when you're hungry and stop when you're full. But for a lot of people, it just doesn't come easy. It doesn't come naturally. So it takes a relearning and a remembering. Now, why am I even talking about all of this? I think if there's a part of you that thinks that maybe you are spending more time than you want to thinking about food, we have to then sit back and understand and learn about why it's even a concern. So do you feel like your constant obsession and thinking about food is robbing you of precious time and living your life? Are we worried that we think too much about food because we want to reclaim more time and space for the things that really matter? Do we honestly think that our obsession is unhealthy? And perhaps we are starting to realize that this unhealthy obsession is a stepping stone towards something even more unhealthy. A lot of people think about food waste, what they're going to eat, what they ate for breakfast, what they're going to eat for dinner, what are they going to prepare, how are they going to prepare it. And sometimes all of these thoughts are actually the early stages of developing a more unhealthy relationship with food or an eating disorder. So another thing to look at is if you do discern that maybe you are thinking too much about food, that you're obsessing, you might find yourself thinking, hey, now that I know that I'm thinking too much about food, perhaps If I stop thinking so much about it, then I'm going to naturally eat less. And if I stop watching the Food Network, perhaps I'm not going to be so inclined to eat so much. And hey, maybe I'm going to lose weight. And maybe this will just make life easier and I won't have to work so hard to be thinner. And if this is the case for you, an important part of your process, I think, will be to become more comfortable with food. Okay? Because food is not something we can completely avoid in life. This past October, I celebrated my 6-year abstinence from alcohol, right? That's easy. I can just avoid alcohol, but food is not something we can abstain from. So what we need to do is begin to reframe our relationship with food, reframe the relationship with our body so that food becomes something we do. It becomes neutral, that yes, it is something that we get satisfaction and pleasure from, and it is not something that we need to weaponize. It's not something that should take up so much brain space. It's not something that we need to be constantly researching, which is a hard thing to accept given the way that the news cycle, the media, magazines, social media, they're always telling us that food is this crazy thing that could save us or kill us, right? Whether it's a superfood or the next supervillain. But realizing that food is neutral and we do deserve to get pleasure from it, and it is what our body needs for energy, and it doesn't need to hold such power over us. So I'm going to encourage you over the next few days after you listen to this episode to just start to notice, how often are you thinking about food? How often are these thoughts coming up? What are the triggers? What are the circumstances? Maybe you want to carry a journal with you just for your own reflection and jot these things down. You know, the time that a food thought comes to you, what the circumstances are. And you might notice, if you're really committed to doing this, you might start to see that you are thinking about food a lot more than you had realized it. And it's not until we realize it that we can start to make changes in our life. And these randomly overbearing and, you know, unnecessary thoughts about food come up. When we start to see it, that's when we get to start letting them go, creating space in our mind and our life for more important things, like connecting to our truth, to our heart, our purpose. When we're not trapped in this cycle with our thoughts around food and our obsessions. So how much do you think about food? I encourage you to explore this. And if you want to dive deeper into all of this, you can check out a workshop I recently did called Selective Living, Undieting Your Mind for Life Beyond Body Worries. I go deep into what diet culture is, where it came from, its history. And I start talking you through the process that I use with myself and with clients to help them start to release. You know, we talk about how to know if you're really under the influence of diet culture. So that's it for this shorty episode. I love you, rebel souls. Let me know what you think. Please share this episode with anyone that you think could benefit from it, especially this time of year when so many of us are locked in this new year, new you bullshit story. It doesn't have to be that way. Let's make friends. Let's make love with food. Bye for now. Thanks so much for listening, my rebel soul. Please, if you would be so kind, I would be grateful if you could share, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Please follow the show over on Instagram at Rebel Soul Health Radio and share what you thought about this week's episode. Don't forget to tag us. For more information on today's show, please head over to my website at meganpearson.ca. Until next time, rebels.